The Obama team will insist on higher taxes on the wealthiest.
They are adamant that they are going to decouple the Bush tax cuts temporarily for next year, and that rates are going to go up on those making over $250,000. They believe that's a mandate that they got.
Talks with lawmakers begin Friday. Thousands of people in New York and New Jersey are still powerless, 2 weeks after Hurricane Sandy devastated the coastline, and gasoline still in short supply. A drop in gas prices helped bring down wholesale inflation last month. Retail sales also down in October, blamed on the big storm. And if you're hitting the road for Thanksgiving, you'll have plenty of company. AAA says nearly 44 million will travel at least 50 miles for the holiday weekend, even though budgets are said to be tighter this year. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama today holds his first news conference since winning re-election. He'll be pressed about Friday's resignation of CIA Director David Petraeus and the widening scandal over Petraeus's extramarital affair. Elmo is still red-faced, but his voice has been exonerated. The young man who accused Sesame Street Muppeteer Kevin Clash of having an underage sexual relationship with him now says the relationship was adult and consensual. NBC's Mara Schiavacampo.
Kevin Clash isn't just the voice of Elmo. He's described as the soul of Sesame Street's most popular character. This week, he took an indefinite leave of absence from the show to battle what he called false and defamatory allegations. And now he's been vindicated.
Stocks edging higher on Wall Street. Facebook shares up 6%. Early Facebook investors can sell their shares starting today. And will the Force be with them? The Angry Birds Star Wars mobile game has officially made its debut, featuring the birds, the pigs, and the characters from the sci-fi saga. Do those bad piggies stand a chance against Darth Vader? Stay tuned. I'm Mike Vaccaro, NBC News Radio.
The holidays are all about spending time with loved ones. Whether you're celebrating old family traditions or starting a few new ones of your own, the Company Store is here to help you make your holidays truly memorable. Find everything you need to create an inviting space filled with all the comforts of home at thecompanystore.com. Start with luxurious bedding, from festive flannel sheets and sumptuous quilts to the highest quality down comforters. Pamper yourself and guests alike with ultra-plush towels offered in a variety of sophisticated colors. The Company Store has all the seasonal decorations you will love, like whimsical pillow covers, felt stockings, and doormats. Set a merry mood for your home the moment friends walk in the door with the Company Store. Give the gift of warmth with cozy micro fleece robes, down booties, and their popular family flannel pajamas, patterned in exclusive prints and sized for one and all, even the family dog. More products, more comfort, more of what you love. The Company Store. Right now, receive 20% off your entire order. Shop online at thecompanystore.com and enter promo code RADIO at checkout.
There are four ways to pick your 2013 health plan. One involves inertia. Two others require either a clever monkey or a plucky goldfish. And the fourth leaves it up to you. This is Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey. And it's that time again when more than 8 million federal workers, retirees, family members, and survivors must decide which health plan they'll rely on next year. This is not rocket science, but it's also not something to leave to chance. Most people take the easy road. They do nothing and continue in the same old plan year after year. Fine if it's a great plan, but stupid if premiums are going up, benefits are being reduced, or your favorite MD isn't in the network. Some of the formerly best plans are suddenly not so good. Some once costly plans are now really good deals. So how do you know the difference? Well, don't depend entirely on the wisdom of the carpool. For starters, check out my column, Mike Causey's Federal Report, at federalnewsradio.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
What's the old saying? Ah, build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The trouble is, a lot of mousetraps aren't any better. They're just new. At Geico, we've been saving people money on car insurance since 1936. That's over 75 years of savings. It's simple logic, really. Why not go with the company that's invented the mousetrap? Of savings, that is.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has Geico. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. with hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Sign up for Federal News Radio's email alerts to stay on top of the latest news affecting the federal community. Go to federalnewsradio.com and click the sign up button at the top of the page.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. We're looking at federal health plans. So again, following the money. As you have known from low these many years, careful shopping can save you as much as $2,000 in premiums, and that's what we're going to be featuring for the next couple of weeks. You've heard about Washington's infamous traffic. We have the second or first worst traffic in the nation, and as proof positive, my guest, Walt Francis, called just a while ago from the Capitol Beltway near Tyson's Corners, and he's on the way, so he will be coming in, and we will get to the health insurance. But we're going to lead off with Sean Riley from the Federal Times. Got an awful lot of stuff to talk about. Sean, are you with us?
I am here. How are
hey,
you, Mike?
Thank you for agreeing to lead off today. Where to begin? New revelations about the Petraeus affair almost hourly.
Yeah, the Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Dianne Feinstein suggested that this was somewhat similar to, this might be something out of the National Enquirer. I mean, it's coming so quickly, it's hard to keep track. It's also hard to know exactly where it's all going, although certainly you've got members of Congress questioning about why they, you know, weren't in the loop, what happened, and when. But as you know, this also has now extended to involve the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General John Allen. And it's really not, it's already cost Mr. Petraeus his job as CIA director. As you know, he resigned last week. It's unclear what's going to happen next.
Well, we just heard a bulletin here on Federal News Radio that they had found, classified documents on Ms. Broadwell's computer.
Yeah, that's, that is...
I mean, possible.
Yeah.
Certainly.
They're certainly looking into it, and then the question would be how they ended up there, and you know, to what extent any kind of sensitive information was classified, was obtained by Ms. Broadwell. As I understand it from press accounts, I mean, they're saying that Mr. Petraeus was not the source, but again, this is another area that warrants investigation. There are also reports that general of 20 to 30,000 pages of emails between General Allen and another a woman in the Tampa area who was sort of described as a social liaison to the military. I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, I don't know. I'm not sure I've generated 20 to 30,000
in your lifetime.
Pages in my lifetime.
Well, that's the thing. And he said this morning, I think he told CBS, this is General Allen, that if it was 30,000, probably a lot of them were duplicates. And so that means only 22,000 or 25,000.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure they got somebody who will come up with a precise count at some point.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, I would think, I mean, you have this going back a ways now. Representative Anthony Weiner did his thing. This social media, this whole thing, and the fact that General Petraeus and this woman were using a common account that they could access. So there's the issue of national security is not necessarily involved in this, but you would think this is going to cause both the civilian side of government and the military as well to come up with a new social information policy and say, hey, you know what? Don't do that on Facebook. Don't email dumb stuff.
Well, you know, I think one lesson that's being drawn from this, if there were any doubt about it, there is absolutely no such thing as privacy online. And I guess what astounds some people is that, at least reportedly, Mr. Petraeus or General Petraeus was using a Gmail account, which would certainly have no expectation of privacy, no matter what
right.
Means you used. And it's ironically, it's giving some. You're hearing calls from organizations like the American Civil Liberties Union. to take a look at exactly what this means in terms of overall privacy protections. It's just, again, ironic that this would, the person who'd be ensnared by this would be the director of the CIA.
Well, in addition to criminal elements all over the world trying to hack things, you have governments like China and North Korea and the Soviet Union or Russia trying to hack into all kinds of American things. What better way to get into the personal account of the director of the CIA? And remember, a few years back, there was another CIA director, and I forget his name, but remember his son had access to his CIA portable computer, and the kid was looking up some sort of pornography on it.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
It's so easy, you know, and I have to say, I think it's, you know, there's the standards for protecting classified information, I think, are fairly stringent. So I think it's, I certainly don't know firsthand, but it would seem it's fairly easy, judging from the people who do go astray, to make mistakes.
I got a lesson in that early on in when they introduced computers to the newspaper that I was working. They really were word processing machines. You know, we typed our stories, but there was an email capability. And one day I got an email, and the guy said, "I'm sorry about last night." And I thought, we didn't do anything. I don't know who it was. And these messages kept coming in one way. And apparently he had had a date that had gone very, very badly wrong with another reporter, a woman at this paper. But what he didn't know was that he'd hit the send all button. So everybody in the newsroom found out about this, why things went wrong and how he wasn't feeling well and he had a headache and all. Very embarrassing. And I thought, you know, be careful what you put into an email.
Oh, how many examples can we think of, though, where people have, you know, hit the send button without necessarily realizing what they're sending or whom they're sending it to?
Yeah, there should be. Well, this is one that's not going to go away. Now, we got to talk about it because this is Washington. Sequestration and the fiscal cliff. Where are we?
Well, you know, the president is having a news conference today. He's certainly going to get plenty of questions about that, along with the Petraeus affair. The president is saying that, he wants a total, I think, $1.6 trillion in new revenue. He wants, income tax rates on those making basically over $250,000 to go up. Republicans are saying no. They're willing to accept new revenue, perhaps by closing loopholes that have yet to be named. But they have no plans. They still are holding firm on their insistence that there not be any increase in overall income tax rates. Congress is officially back as of yesterday, and so now we'll see, perhaps negotiations begin, in earnest. We have about a month and a half, a little bit more, until sequestration would take effect. That would be on January 2nd. As we talked about before, there's some argument out there that if it did happen, if we did, quote-unquote, go over the fiscal cliff, that the impact would not be that immediately severe, that the Office of Management, Budget, and Federal agencies have some tricks, money management tools up their sleeves that will allow them to essentially juggle funds to hold off any really dire consequences, at least for a couple weeks, giving Congress and the White House a little bit more time to reach a deal, which could then be made retroactive to the second. But I think after months of talking about it, I think we're actually going to see whether things going to happen to reach an agreement.
Do you think the president, I know this is asking you to mind read, but do you think that given the reelection and the numbers that the president feels he can hang tough on taxes?
Well, he's got a lot more leverage in any case, because the tax cuts, and these go back to 2003, they were passed under the administration of former President George W. Bush. They automatically expire at the end of the year unless Congress acts to extend them. So from the president's perspective, if nothing happens, those rates are going to go up and go up substantially for a lot of people. And there's an additional issue of the alternative minimum tax, which is something we really don't need to go into, but it will also affect millions of people. So I think from the standpoint of just the calendar, the president believes he has more leverage, and I think he also believes that the election results do give him, I'm not sure he'd call it a mandate, but certainly would suggest the public's behind him on this. Polls have shown that I believe a majority of the public is in favor of raising taxes on the very wealthy. Presumably, you know, in that case, the president and Democrats would not suffer any political harm from letting that happen.
And the tiers for very wealthy, it's $500,000 a year, the other it's $250,000 a year, I believe. Is that right?
Okay, I think so. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I'd heard an economist the other day, and I checked this with somebody, and they said if you make $113,000 a year, then you were in the upper 10 percentile of the U.S. as far as income goes, $113,000. So that includes an awful lot of federal workers.
Mm-hmm. That would, actually. Just about anybody in the SES, of course, and a lot of people, even below that, I guess, in the upper tier of the GS schedule.
Absolutely. Well, before we go, Sean, what's with the Postal Service?
Well, a new development yesterday, became apparent yesterday. Well, a couple things. One is, of course, this is the last chance for Congress to take any action on major postal legislation this year. The Postal Service is insistent that it needs help, that it needs financial relief, also needs more management flexibility to let it, say, go to five-day mail delivery if it's going to return to long-term profitability, long-term fiscal stability. From what we're hearing, chances of that kind of comprehensive legislation passing with everything else that Congress has on its plate is very unlikely. There was also an additional development reported yesterday by Bloomberg that the Postal Service's surplus in the Federal Employees Retirement System, which as of fiscal 11 was around $11 billion, has now been reduced to about $2.6 billion projected by the Office of Personnel Management because they're assuming lower interest rates. And that matters because the Postal Service has, and Congress to some extent, or members of Congress, have been looking at that as a source, essentially, of funding to provide money for employee bailouts and for other purposes to help the Postal Service, for example, pay down its debt to the Treasury. So if that money's not available, that would be an additional complication that would get in the way of any kind of major deal on postal legislation.
The drama continues. Thank you, Sean Riley. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll talk with Walton Francis about getting the best deal for you in this open season.
Are you a federal or U.S. Postal Service employee or annuitant, or an active or retired member of the uniformed services? If so, you're eligible to apply for coverage under the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. The program offers a smart way to help protect savings and assets and remain independent should you need long-term care services someday. Make long-term care insurance part of your retirement plan. Find out how at ltcfeds.com. That's ltcfeds.com.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, Bill Bransford will be joined by Miriam Nisbet, Director of the Office of Government Information Services, and Rick Blum from the Sunshine in Government Initiative for an inside look at the new FOIA online.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Torno, the world's largest watch store. Torno. The Fashion Center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
For a faster, easier way for your agency to go green, choose GSA's Green Aisles, the custom online purchasing channels on GSA Advantage and GSA Global Supply. Each item in the Green Aisles is identified and labeled with environmental indicators like Energy Star, EPEAT, and more, so you can find the green products and services you need and meet all of your agency's sustainability requirements, environmental and economic. To learn more, join the conversation today at interact.gsa.gov/sustainability.
We think federal employees deserve a big
extra
thanks for all their hard work. That's why at the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Service Benefit Plan, we've added benefits at no added cost, from free well child care to free immunizations. After all, you've earned them. No wonder more federal employees choose Blue Cross and Blue Shield than any other coverage. To learn more, call 1-800-411-BLUE or visit
extras.fepblue.org.
The Washington Wizards are back.
Spins, fades, banks, scores, and one. Okafor.
Up court to Crawford. No look pass. Ariza. Stuff to it.
Crawford drives baseline. Whips it in the corner. Sheldon Mack for three.
Single game tickets are on sale now. Call 202-661-5050. That's 202-661-5050. Or buy your tickets online at WashingtonWizards.com/tickets.
Human Capital Management for the federal government is the most anticipated training event this year, featuring more than 30 participating federal human chief capital officers and chief learning officers. Don't miss this year's event, to be held on November 28th through the 30th, 2012, at the Sheraton Pentagon City Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. Check out the website, www.hcmfederal.com, for more information and to register now. Mention code HCMF for a $200 discount.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey, glad to have you with us. And the star of the show is here, Walton Francis, who is the editor of Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. Walt, I know I ask you this every year, but this is 30-plus years now?
This is the 34th year.
34th
as,
year.
As you know, I started as a teenager.
Right, so did I. And we met in grade school as we were doing a little radio show, 1,500 watts. Glad to have you with us in studio here today. We've got some this is really one of these sessions where I could leave the room and you could go for the next 45 minutes. But a couple of questions that we got from people, and a lead-off one from an old Army buddy of mine, Roland Painter, and he's a retired Fed. He was with the Labor Department for many years. His wife is just turning 65, and he wants to know about getting Medicare Part B.
Okay, well, obviously that's a choice that every family makes depending on your attitude towards risk and so on. You don't have to have Part B. You're not required to. Your FEHPP plan you had at age 64 doesn't turn into a pumpkin at age 65. Yeah. It's still there for you. Still pays the same. But healthcare expenses get a lot higher as you get older on average. And there's a certain security in having both programs. Because, for example, the Congress could mess one up. But maybe, you know, you could rely more heavily on the other. Actually, one of the very best deals you can do in the FEHVP is be in Medicare Parts A and B. Suspend your FEHVP enrollment and then join a Medicare Advantage plan, there's a system there of plans competing for customers similar to the FEHVP, and there are PPOs and HMOs and fee for service and all the rest. And the Medicare Advantage plans have great benefits, good coverage, catastrophic guarantees, and so on. But let's take the simplest case: someone typically does sign up for Part B as well as Part A, which is free. And now the question is, what plan to be in next year? And reading the email from your friend, they've been on Blue Cross Blue Shield Standard Option forever, and they're thinking about switching to Blue Cross Basic. And he's asking, can it really save me that much money? I mean, it's all about money ultimately. And the answer is yes, it can. We estimate that going from Blue Cross Standard to Blue Cross Basic will save a retired couple with Medicare Parts A and B around $1,500 a year. Now, and that's even though Blue Cross Basic, unlike all the other national plans, doesn't give you that 100%. You know, you never pay a nickel for doctor costs again if you have Medicare Part B, and never a nickel for hospital costs if you have Medicare Part A. You'll still be paying the regular, $20 or whatever a visit for Blue Cross Basic. Actually, it's 25. Sorry about that for primary care physicians and 35 for specialists.
So but short answer, they should go to the basic plan.
Yeah, or go to GIHA standard option.
Okay.
And there are a couple other very good choices.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, very good. And when you say suspend your FEHBP, you mean just that suspend, not quit. Never quit. Correct?
Never quit.
Never
but,
quit.
But yeah. That's a different path than the one I'm talking about for your
very
friend.
Good. Okay, got another question here from Wendy. Says, with some of the new health care reform mandates taking effect, federal employees were supposed to be entitled to a refund. However, OPM opted to give us a discount on premiums for 2013. However, I noticed that there was an additional increase in our health care premiums. Is there a reasonable explanation for this?
Well, the reason for the increase, of course, is health care costs go up every year. And the average premium increase this year was pretty modest, 3.4%. But, you know, 3.4% is a lot when your pay raise is zero.
Right.
But, no, the rebate thing, a number of the federal health plans didn't pass the test of paying out a certain fraction of their premium and benefits that that's now being administered under the president calls Obamacare. So
yes,
I can too.
It's not a dirty word.
It's not a dirty word anymore. So these rebates are there, but the plans elected with and OPM probably insisted that they not send checks for, you know, $10 or $15. It wasn't a lot of money to everybody, but instead just roll it over into the negotiations for next year's premium rate. And it kept, you know, that'll keep your premium down a few dollars for next year.
Okay, another Medicare Part B question. This is from Nancy with NOAA, and she's talking about, again, the Medicare Part B. She said some people say they don't want to do it because there are an increasing number of doctors who won't accept Medicare Part B. And she says, is it true that fewer doctors accept Medicare Part B if it is the primary insurer?
I don't think the doctors care whether it's the primary insurer so much
as, don't like
as whether or not they take it. There are a lot of doctors who will take Medicare but not accept new patients. That's one of the you know, things going on these days.
Yeah.
And particularly in areas like D.C., you get a lot of very high-spending customers with lots of money, and doctors can be a little bit picky about whether or not they want to accept the much lower Medicare rates than they get from the private health plans.
Got one here from Germany. He says, I'm a federal retiree working overseas for a large government contractor. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield high option. When I retired, I did not choose to go with Medicare, so my government insurance is all I have. Since we are not in any company's network of doctors, we use German medical personnel. Which plan is the best for my wife and I here in Europe? I do plan on returning to the U.S. by the middle of next year, so that may make a difference. And it's from Robert.
Well, all the national plans will actually cover you anywhere in the world, okay, with the out-of-network benefit they all have, except Blue Cross Basic. So in that sense, it's hard to go really wrong. But the three plans that really pride themselves on giving you good coverage abroad and good service abroad are Blue Cross Standard, the one he's in, which is the higher of the two Blue Cross options.
Mm-hmm.
GIHA, Standard option's the one to take, not high option. And Foreign Service, if you're eligible. They all offer very good service abroad. And they're all very good plans when you come back here. So he's covered either way.
Good deal. All right, very good. Now, this is the point where I could leave the room because you were doing seminars. In fact, you're doing one tonight before a NARF group up in here in Cleveland Park, or Tenleytown, I guess. You're doing one this evening. But how do we get rolling? How do people shop for a health plan?
Well, most people are so dread it that they don't. That's the category you started the show with, you know, the people who do nothing. So I think the answer, though, is really simple. Just sit down and plan to spend half an hour or an hour at your computer. It can be at home or at the office. You can do it on government time, looking at your choices. Start with the brochure for the plan you're in. How's it changing this year? How's my situation changing? You might want to call your doctor's office. Hey, doc, are you going to be in my health plan next year after January 1st? It's worth checking if that's important to you. Both the OPM website and the checkbook website give you quick instant access to PDF files for all the brochures. So you can just pop in your plan name and right away be reading on your screen. Don't even have to print the thing out, all 100 plus pages of it. Look for the page on how it changes. Look at the summary of benefits at the back. Think a little bit about what's going on in your life. Now, that's just the question of should you stay in the same plan or not. But part of the answer to that is what other plans are available and do they offer you a better deal at a better price? And, of course, chances are one of them does. There's over two dozen plans in the D.C. metro area available, open to everybody. And there's a big difference between the cost from the high end to the low end in terms of likely out-of-pocket cost to you, premium, and what you're likely to pay for your share of doctor and hospital visits. So it's worth making a few, comparing a few plans. And, of course, that's what Checkbooks Guide does. We enable you to, we sort of go through all the messy calculations and try to give you some bottom line estimates of how many dollars are you likely to save in plan A versus plan B.
Well, I like the way you do it, too. You the first column shows the premiums, and that's what everybody's going to pay. The premiums for federal workers, the premiums for postal workers. And then you have columns about your likelihood. This is what your out-of-pocket or your total cost is going to be. Premiums and out-of-pocket costs, and you have the percentages. Something like a 6% chance of having a catastrophic medical year, when you know you really need the best of the devices. The thing that I notice about your guide here is that even from least expensive, including out-of-pocket costs, to most expensive, there's not that much difference. Maybe a couple thousand bucks a year. Between the lowest price and
that's
the best.
Right. It's sort of the range is about $2,000 for a family from high to low, but think about it another way, Mike. Mm-hmm. That's a potential $2,000 pay raise you can give yourself,
sure,
if you move to the lower cost plan. So it's not chump change. That said, all these plans are good. They all pay most of the medical bills. It's not an issue of are you gonna lose your shirt or something. But since there are such bargains, why not snap them up?
Right. Well, and the catastrophic coverage is something that you stress too, and that's important again if you have a catastrophic illness or accident. But you need to take a break here. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has Geico. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
To successfully win and deliver on federal and state health IT initiatives, you need to align with the right strategic partners. Tech Systems Government Services offers dedicated healthcare IT teams who provide practical IT services and IT workforce management expertise to integrators in federal, state, and local governments. Each year, Tech Systems deploys nearly 6,000 specialized government and healthcare IT professionals to support the design, development, and implementation of key programs. From integrated eligibility and health exchange programs for state governments to major initiatives inside civilian and military health organizations, Tech Systems enables you to build stronger IT teams and achieve desired mission outcomes. Whether you support HHS, VA, or MHS programs or programs across all 50 states, Tech Systems' national presence and ability to assemble and manage teams of highly qualified health IT talent can help you win and successfully deliver on mission-critical programs. Tech Systems, our people make IT possible. Learn more at TechSystems.com. T-E-K Systems.
This is John Gilroy from Armature and host of Federal Tech Talk. After almost 300 interviews, I've had many guests who talk about cutting-edge technology and agile software development. How would you like to be part of a fast-paced team with an agile approach to projects? We need talent. We seek experts in .NET, WCF, jQuery, and HTML5. Take advantage of this opportunity where you can make a difference. For more information, go to armaturecorp.com. or send your resume to radiojobs@armaturecorp.com.
There's a sea change going on now, and you're seeing the slow death of the desktop. Microsoft, they defined their future in terms of mobile. You know, Windows 8 came out, it supports all the touch screen. They've got the Windows Surface portable device. Google has a portable device. Of course, everybody's trying to play catch up with Apple. And so now we are moving into an accelerated phase of the post-PC.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM. Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Your clothing could one day communicate much more than your fashion sense. Because if John Valakis, director of Ohio State University's Electro Science Laboratory, has his way, your shirt will be part antenna.
The actual fabric is going to look the same. You won't know the difference, but it will be conductive.
So it can send and receive signals like a smartphone, only better, because Valakis says a lot of antenna can be woven into your clothes.
If there's a signal there, and the signal is very low, you now have a much stronger antenna on your body that will overcome the low signal from the tower.
And if the signal's good, Valakis says sending even high-resolution video would be seamless. Benefits could include home monitoring of patients, but the technology is still in early stages of development and testing. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is author and editor of the Checkbook's 2013 Guide to Health Plans for Federal Workers. And, well, I was asking about catastrophic coverage, which is very important, correct?
Yeah, the real purpose of buying health insurance is to protect you against the worst. It's sort of like car insurance and house insurance. You don't want the house to burn down, but if it does, you don't want to be financially ruined. We're so used to having prepaid care where it's just a few bucks even for routine doctor visits that it's easy to overlook the most important aspect of this, which is to make sure that you don't go bankrupt if you have a heart attack or a stroke or the kind of car accident that could leave you paralyzed the rest of your life or whatever. So all these plans offer a guarantee. They all say in that event, you know, if your bills hit $1 million or $500,000 or whatever, we will not charge you a nickel after you reach a certain amount out of pocket. That's called the catastrophic limit. And that number is typically, though it varies a lot from plan to plan, somewhere around $5,000 or $10,000 per family, towards the lower end for self only. But you got to add to that the premium cost. So it turns out catastrophic limits tend to be up, including all the money you could be out of pocket in a year, $10,000 plus. But they're not all equal. And all of them have little twists. There's little footnotes about, what's included or not included. For example, some of them do not include your copays for doctor visits in their stated limit. Now, you know, you may say, well, a $20 copay or whatever, how many doctor visits can you have? Well, the answer is, how about a few hundred?
Maybe a lot. Yeah.
Maybe a lot. So what Checkbook does, we actually look at the small print in the plan brochures and figure out what's the really real world likely out-of-pocket max in this plan and adjust the numbers to try to give you a little better point of comparison than the claimed limits.
That's very helpful. And one more thing, and I'm just going to leave the room and let you talk because you've done this so long and so well. The government makes it very easy for feds. As you said, they can do this at work on their computers, and many agencies now can access your Checkbook Guide, the online version.
Yeah, a lot of agencies buy a subscription for all their employees, and then they usually bury that information in that open season email, yeah. On page 3, the email nobody reads, because you already know open season is about to start. So what we recommend people do is go to our website, www.guidetohealthplans.org. Guide to Health Plans is all one word. and simply look at the opening page. It gives you a list of agencies, and it'll tell you whether or not your agency gives you free access. And then typically you'll get from your HR people a password or something, but then you have it free. It's for those who buy their own, it's nominal cost. And so, you know, either way, you're going to be able to get in very quickly. We ask you a few questions, your age, your family size, what pay system are you in, things that make a big difference mm-hmm. in how much you're likely to face in medical bills or how much your premium is, because, you know, part-time versus full-time makes a big difference in your premium cost. Do you or do you not have Medicare and so on? And then we take you very quickly in the D.C. metro area. We let you put in the name of your doctor or doctors. See which on one screen you can see what health plans your doctor is in and which plans are better deals and by how many dollars.
I see why you work all year round at updating this thing. And, of course, people can also, heaven forbid, pay for it themselves if their agency doesn't, or they can get the consumer checkbook, the guide, the booklet that I like for $9.95, and that's available at some bookstores. I know it's available at some drugstores. And you can also call checkbook.
Or call checkbook. So yeah. You can have it online or in paper. We can do more things online than we can do in the paper version. But some people, I'm actually one of them myself. I like to hold something in my hand.
I do too. Yeah, take it with me. Yeah. Carry on, please.
Well, the point is, and I think these examples about living abroad, or catastrophic limits and how high or low are they in my plan, how big is my family and what's going on? Everyone in the family has health issues. You hope they're all in good health, but they may not all be in good health. So you have to think about other members of your family. There's a lot of variables, a lot of balls you've got to sort of sort out. And what we're trying to do is help people sort it out. Again, back to the point you made at the beginning of the show, the people who lose are the ones who don't pay any attention to it at all. And just they're stuck in that same plan forever without realizing they could save, as we've discussed, $500, $1,000, up to $2,000, actually more in some cases, by changing plans in open season.
Yeah, and the numbers of people who do change is – now, last year there was some difference. I heard you on Bob Lyon's show the other day, and you said that a lot of people had moved out of one of the Blue Cross options.
Yeah, in recent years, the Blue Cross standard option, which is a great plan mm-hmm. in terms of coverage and benefits and cost sharing, but the premium's gotten high, and the Blue Cross basic plan has had better luck keeping its premiums down. So a couple hundred thousand people have switched from Blue Cross standard to Blue Cross basic or to one of the other, good deals, like the high deductible plans, by and large, consumer-driven plans are very good buys. So there's been a little more movement than usual. Though I must say this year, the Blue Cross standard premium did not go up at all. It's actually down a few pennies, and the benefits didn't get worse, So if you're in that plan for good reasons, it's a solid choice. And I will tell you right now, the chances are that, but I still want you to look at the brochure, that there's no reason for you to change other than saving money.
The Blue Cross has always been the big kid on the block. Most retirees are in it, and many federal workers are in it. So I guess making a change from standard to basic is not as big a deal as, say, making a change leaving Blue Cross and going to something called Samba, which is not a dance, or Compass Rose and some of these outfits.
Well, there is one big difference, and people need to be alert to about it and think about it. Blue Cross Basic, one reason it keeps its rates down so well is that you are covered only for visits to preferred providers in Blue Cross Basic. So if you go out of network, you're going to pay the full cost of that other doctor visit. All the other national plans, including Samba Standard Option, which is a very good deal and a very good plan, Blue Cross Standard, GEHA Standard, APWU, NALC, those plans all give you both discounts for preferred providers, but do let you go out of network. They probably only cover about half the cost out of network, but hey, half of a big bill is not chump change.
Absolutely. And again, too, as you said, take the brochures of a couple of plans to the doctor's office, and somebody in his or her office will know if they're in it, if it's a good plan for you, if it works, if they're in the network. Or using your online service in the Washington area, I could find out if my doctor is in plan A, B, and C.
Yeah, and it can be a little bit tricky. For example, a number of the plans use the United Healthcare Network for their preferred provider network. So you may be wanting to ask the doctor's office, is he or she in the United Network? So be sure you're asking that question right. The clerk in the office may not know about letter carriers, or, you know, they may not know them. But they should know the names of these plans.
In the Washington area, they should know.
In the D.C. area, it's not like these plans are, you know, shrinking violets that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, more, what if you were doing a seminar today, what would you go with?
Well, we've covered a number of topics. I guess there's another one that we haven't dwelt on too much. Do you or do you not take Medicare Part B, and there's pluses and minuses of that decision when you turn 65? Actually, if you don't join, if you are retired and turn age 65, there's a penalty of 10% a year if you don't join it at age 65. But if you're still working, you don't have to join until you quit working, as long as you're covered by employer health insurance, and there's no penalty for working, say, to age 70 and then retiring and then picking up Blue Cross, Medicare Part B. But you can also rejoin it later if you decide you've made a mistake and pay that extra penalty. But so there's a whole host of options there. The big one, though, I think to think about is that the sheer cost of being in two healthcare systems at once, paying premiums for both at once, FEHVP and Medicare, should force you, I would argue, to think really hard about, should I be in one system and not the other? And it could be either way. Either way works very well. Or can I stay with both? Because there's a lot of advantages to both, but switch down at least to a plan in the FHVP with a lower premium. One other variable, a lot of retired feds have high incomes in retirement, and there is something called the income-tested premium in Medicare. And while most people pay a little over $100 a month for Medicare Part B next year, some pay $200 or even $300 a month. So you have to think about your post-retirement income. Given that you don't have to be in Part B, given you have good health coverage in the FHVP, that group of high-income people are sort of obvious targets for not signing up for Part B. But even then, there are reasons why you maybe want to do it. I have a friend who's – there are three different ways he can be in Kaiser and Medicare and – or GEHA and Kaiser. You know, he's trying to figure out the combinations of permutations. What he's thinking of doing now is signing up for the Kaiser Medicare Advantage plan, but keeping GEHA standard option so he can go out of network if he needs to. There's a lot of ways to skin this cat.
Okay. Take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis about your 2013 health plan. We'll be right back.
Here's Lawrence Hale, Director of Center for Strategic Solutions and Services, GSA FAS, on the Federal Executive Forum on Identity Management, Progress, and Best Practices, sponsored by Route 1.
There are opportunities such as the Cloud Identity Exchange, which is vital to accessing critical applications through the cloud with solid identity management. So we work with NIST, with the NSTIC, to promote those standards to help things like the Cloud Identity Exchange become reality.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Government agencies remain a top target for cyber attacks. That's why the Departments of Defense, Energy, and Homeland Security currently use the MobiKey from Route 1 for secure remote access. MobiKey integrates with government-issued CAC, PIV, and FRAC identity cards and works as a multi-factor authentication technology that secures and protects the identity of federal employees and government contractors who work remotely. Learn more by visiting Route 1 today at route1.com. That's Route followed by the number 1.com.
Navy football is moving full speed ahead, and you won't want to miss the last home game of the season at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. Watch the midshipmen as they take on Texas State Saturday, November 17th at 3:30 p.m. Join thousands of boys, girls, and family members at the annual Scout Day. Be sure to get your seats today and make every game day your day in Annapolis. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or log on to NavySports.com now. That's Navy and Texas State, Saturday, November 17th. Navy football, full speed ahead.
Today, federal agencies are awash in a sea of data. You have two choices, drift along or harness it. Turn to Deloitte. We help defense and civilian agencies reveal insights buried deep in their data and make sense of the what-ifs and what's coming, so you can reduce costs and improve outcomes, or do things differently. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. We help government help America.
This week's Experts in Health topic is breast cancer detection, featuring Dr. Kathy Walcott, a family practitioner with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, who was recently named top doctor in Washingtonian magazine. She and her colleagues have achieved the best breast cancer detection rates in the nation, according to the 2012 HEDIS 2012 ranking.
Hi, I'm Dr. Walcott at Kaiser Permanente. We understand that early detection and treatment of breast cancer can increase the chance of survival, which is why Mid-Atlantic Permanente physicians of all specialties proactively review each member's electronic medical record to see when she had her last mammogram. A woman may come in for an ophthalmology appointment for an eye issue, but she could leave with her mammogram appointment in hand, often having the option to complete the mammogram in the very same medical center that day. Only Kaiser Permanente doctors from all specialties can do this. It's no surprise that we have the highest mammography screening rate in the region.
Kaiser Permanente of the Mid-Atlantic states was recently ranked number one in the entire nation for breast cancer screening in the HEDIS ranking. For more information, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctor.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico says, let's make life simpler.
What's the old saying? Build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The trouble is, a lot of mousetraps aren't any better. They're just new. At Geico, we've been saving people money on car insurance since 1936. That's over 75 years of savings. It's simple logic, really. Why not go with the company that's invented the mousetrap? Of savings, that is.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk@FederalNewsRadio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, Bill Bransford will be joined by Miriam Nisbet, Director of the Office of Government Information Services, and Rick Blum from the Sunshine in Government Initiative for an inside look at the new FOIA online.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is the editor, or reporter, proofreader of Checkbook's Guide to 2013 Federal Health Plans. And the booklet has been around for more than 30 years, and it's an excellent way to literally compare plans, see what's the best deal for you. Not only the premiums, but your likely out-of-pocket costs, which are even more critical. And also they have an online version now that many federal agencies, maybe even most in terms of the number of federal workers, but many federal agencies now subscribe to this for you, which means you can do your research at work, and it even has features, as Walt said, in the Washington area. You can go to a plan and check and see if your doctor is in that plan's network, which can be critical, very important. Also, a reminder, this show is archived on our homepage, so you can listen anytime, and if you have a friend who's has questions about health insurance and how to shop for it, we've had a lot of good tips today from Walt. And Walt, I want to ask you about high deductible. I want to say high definition.
And consumer driven health
okay,
plans.
Okay, CDs and HDs. What's right. That?
Well, these are plans that try to put you a little more in charge of managing your health care, and they want you to think about, do I really need that doctor visit? Do I really need to take that particular medicine, or is there, or do I need the name brand as opposed to the generic? So what they do is give you a pretty high deductible, you know, maybe $1,000 or even $2,000 for a family before the plan kicks in with any money, the regular insurance. And at that point they kick in and it's just as good, if not better, than all the regular plans. But all of them have some form of savings account. And there's two families of these. One set is called Health Savings Accounts, HSAs, and I'll explain them in a second. The other are called HRAs, Health Reimbursable Arrangements. In the HRA, as long as you stay in the plan, you can use that to pay your costs before you hit the, or to fill up that deductible. But when you leave the plan, you lose any balance. Okay, it's the plan's money, it's not yours. That said, some of those plans, like the APWU, Consumer Driven Plan, are really great bargains. The ones I think are most interesting, and certainly they're not just for the young, quite the contrary. When you get in your 50s, you can make something called catch-up contributions to an HSA. But the key point is, if you're relatively young and healthy, and all these plans will cover at least the annual physical for free, that's never anymore subject to the deductible, you can put in money into your HSA. It goes in tax-free. It grows over the years tax-free, and you can take it out tax-free. It's like an IRA on steroids. And if you're a young immortal, the amount of money you're going to have in that savings account at the end of the year may exceed what you actually paid in after-tax, you know, tax-preferred premium for some of the less expensive plans. It's a no-brainer. So anyone who's a federal employee who does not have health insurance, at the very least, sign up for one of these plans that basically cost you nothing if you're healthy, and protect you exceedingly well if the worst happens and you get hit by a truck.
And you said the magic words. It goes in. Is it pre-tax?
Yeah.
Okay, pre-tax. Yeah. Then it earns whatever it earns, and then when you take it out, there's no tax?
Correct. And part of your premium pays for it. A part of the government share of the premium pays for it. So you don't have to lay out extra money for this health savings account or for the HRA. That's included in the deal when you sign up for one of these plans. There's half a dozen of them. GEA has one. The MH, what used to be the mail handlers plan, MHVP. They have a high deductible plan. APWU, I mentioned. Aetna has both consumer-driven and high deductible. All these plans are very good buys. We rate them very highly. They can save you a lot of money even when your medical care is not close to zero.
Well, and some of these plans, too, the names are misleading to the extent that it says American Postal Workers Union, National Association of Letter Carriers, but they're not limited to postal members of the postal family.
Absolutely not. And there are a couple plans. The Foreign Service plan, the Compass Rose plan, they both limit you to essentially to the foreign affairs community. But they define those very broadly, okay?
Yeah.
The SAMBA plans used to be FBI only, but they're now open to everybody. And by the way, there's a new plan this year. We should be talking about it. Care First, which is the Maryland Blue Cross company, has a new high deductible plan this year. So there are a lot of options that people have, particularly if they're, you know, realize that all these plans are open to them. It's not like you only have one or two choices. You've got a bunch.
In these high deductible plans, how much money could you amass each year?
Depends on the plan, but for a family enrollment, it can be something on the order of $2,000, and you're allowed to make additional contributions. They actually have a catastrophic guarantee, all of them, that's loophole free, very good. But if you really hit, you know, if you had that $500,000 a year, you can actually add money to your health savings account and use it to lower even further. That is, give yourself a tax preference, okay, that you don't have to think of ahead of time. This is not use or lose money. This is money you put in, you know, on your own volition. So you can improve on the plan's stated catastrophic limit. And then finally, as you get older, you can do what are called catch-up contributions. You can carry these HSAs into retirement. You can't add to them after you're enrolled in Medicare. You can only be enrolled in one health care plan at a time and make it. There's a lot of technical details, by the way, all of which are explained really well in the plan brochures and in the Q&As on the OPM website, which we need to mention to people. www.opm.gov/insure. It's one of the best federal websites.
Yeah, the OPM has really done a good job with all of this benefits thing. You're the one that convinced me, sold me on flexible spending accounts. How do they work?
That's the use or lose money. It's something you do during open season. You know you're going to see Doc Sawbones. Maybe he's your psychiatrist or your allergy doctor or something. You're going to have 10 visits, and your plan's going to make you pay $30 a visit. Well, that's $300 out of pocket next year for Doc Sawbones. But you can put $300 in your flexible spending account what you've done is basically shelter from income tax, not just federal, but state and as well, and from OASDI, Medicare taxes. You've sheltered that $300 from taxes. Your marginal tax rate is probably at 33% or maybe even more. So basically, you just got a $100 discount off $300 you would have otherwise spent, and it's only going to cost you $200. And you can use the FSA for dental costs, for out-of-pocket prescription. No, out-of-pocket drugs, I think, are that's gone now. That's one of the small changes made in Obamacare. But, you know, for any foreseeable medical expense, the problem is you don't want to – you're not going to foresee that stroke or that heart attack, so they're not really going to help you with the insurance end. And you don't want to put away too much money because, you know, you lose it if you don't use it.
You don't use it by March of the following year. Correct?
Right.
And this year, and in the past, the FSA has been $5,000, but that's been changed. It will be $2,500 next
year. Right. So some people, not too many people go that high, but a few do. So that's real pain for the families that needed that, higher limit.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. We're going to have you back next week. More on how to buy a health plan. Have a good week. Stay safe. We'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m.